Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. As is often the case, the announcements have been before you on the screen, so I hope you have been paying attention to them as they've flipped by so that you might know the things that are happening here in the life of our congregation. As we move into the next 6 weeks or so, it's going to get very, very busy, so do plan to come a little bit early and take a look at the screens to know all of the things that are happening in the life of the church. And a special welcome to all those who are joining us in worship on the live stream this morning. It is always good to welcome people from near and far who join us by that means. And a special welcome this morning to Bella Guayama, who we will be speaking about in a little while, and who can't be here this morning, but through the wonders of technology, is present with us. A couple of brief announcements just to draw to your attention. During the month of May, we are going to be focusing on tinned goods for our food bank collection. So things like canned vegetables, baked beans apparently are quite popular, so that is a good thing to bring along as well. And a note that in the slides, there was a slide for Uplift 2024. Uplift 2024 is what we used to call Canada Youth many, many years ago. And it's an event for both youth and for youth leaders. So youth beginning at the age of 16 are invited to attend and be part of the youth portion, and then youth leaders, there is a separate track for them. And there is also an opportunity for any of you. If you would like to go as a guide, as someone who helps supervise the young people during that week, they are looking for guides to be with the youth, help them, lead them in their daily devotions, and make sure they get from point A to point B in a safe and efficient manner. As you can imagine, when you get several hundred young people in one place at one time, safe and efficient manner is something you have to sometimes emphasize. And the one interesting thing about Uplift 2024, this is the first time that this will be a shared event with the United Church of Canada. So that's kind of an exciting new venture that has come out of the post-pandemic world. So if you need more information on any of those things, you can speak to me. There is a notice on the bulletin board downstairs as you're in the lower hall. And I said this last week and I lied to you, but this week I will try to be faithful to my promises and I will try to get it up onto the Facebook page this week as well. Just too many other things clouding my mind. I always thought of it at the wrong time this week. The rest of the announcements are in the bulletin or as you have seen them, and we will leave them for you to peruse throughout the day. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we are his people and walk in his light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Easter people, Jesus chose you and calls you friend.
We abide in Christ because Christ abides in us.
Jesus made a home among us to show us how to love.
We abide in love because love abides in us.
Jesus invites us to know the joy that comes when we love one another the way God loves us.
We abide in joy because joy abides with us.
Easter people, Jesus welcomes you home.
We come to make our home with God and one another, bound together by love and enlivened by joy.
Let us pray. Holy God, The power of your love is beyond comprehension. The breadth of your compassion without measure. The depth of your wisdom knows no bounds. In Jesus Christ, you meet us in the midst of life's joys and challenges to show us what it means to love and be loved. And so we offer you our love and loyalty, our prayers and praise. We pray all these things through the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us closer to you and to one another as friends and followers of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. I guess the one other announcement I've been meaning to say for 2 weeks now is we've made some technological changes in the presentations. Nothing that you should probably notice, except we are learning how to do those things. So if there's a little delay every now and then on the screen, please bear with us. We will get those things sorted out. That last slide was really small, wasn't it, choir? That's something you didn't see, but we won't do that again. We're going to sing the opening hymn now, 788. Come know my joy, the Maker said, hymn 788. And this will be a new hymn, or a new tune anyway, for most of us. It's a hymn that's only been in this book and the last book, so it's only been printed for 50 years. But we will learn it. Number 788.
Sear the sense, defy the mind, and
Please be seated. See, I shouldn't have said a thing. It was going more or less perfectly right up until I said, hey, we're trying something new. And then we ran out of words for the hymn. Friends, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, interceding with sighs too deep for words. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we join our voices together, saying the prayer as it appears before us. O God, whose love knows no bounds, forgive us when we fail to reflect your loving kindness. When we turn away from the goodness of your love, call us back with the tender voice of a caring friend. When we stumble over the gift of your grace, lift us up with the strong arms of a loving parent. When we are certain that we are alone in the chaos of this world, shower us with peace, the gentle breeze of an evergreen. When we cannot feel the flowing of your peace, show us your love with the hands and feet of Christ, your love incarnate. Forgive us, risen Christ, for all the ways we fall short, and teach us to be agents of resurrection in the world. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of God's promise. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And once more, we come before God in praise as we sing hymn 475. I am the church, you are the church. Number 475.
Church together.
Okay, here goes nothing. Can we bring Bella? Is Bella with us? Okay. This may be part of the reason we're having some conflicts this morning, too. There's Bella. Oh. There's Bella.
Hello.
Good morning, is Bella.
Good morning.
And we're here this morning, and our time with the sharing of the church family is to celebrate Bella and Bella's accomplishments. Because Bella is celebrating her graduation from McGill in microbiology and immunology. Am I close?
Yes, you're right. That's exactly it.
Perfect. See, when she was here a couple of weeks ago, I got it wrong, so I had to check. But it's lovely that Bella can zoom in for us for a brief time, and we're so pleased that you've made this accomplishment. Are you actually done of exams, Bella?
I am, yes, as of last week.
Because when she was here last week, she was just getting ready for all of that very high stress stuff, so she's looking much more relaxed these days. And tell us, Bella, what comes next for you?
I'm really interested in medicine and research, so I'm hoping to combine the two in work and in studies.
Very good. Well, that's wonderful. Well, just so that you know, we have cake here this morning. Oh, I should turn and look at the camera. Which camera am I on, guys? I'm on that one. Okay, so that one. Perfect. Now Bella can see my face and not the back of my head. But Bella's behind me, Bella. You've got to understand. But we've got cake this morning, Bella, that we're going to eat on your behalf.
I hope you all enjoy the cake, and I'm there in spirit.
and we will hopefully see you in a few weeks or through the summer as time goes on and you have some time to make it back home. So, yes. From us to you, congratulations on this wonderful accomplishment, and we wish all the best in the years to come.
Thank you so much, and I couldn't have done it without my St. John's family. You know, the support from near and far always helps, so thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, and now you can log out of the Zoom meeting and just sit back and enjoy watching us, but take care.
Bye, everyone.
Friends, let us join our voices, let us join our minds in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days.
Second reading is a responsive psalm, Psalm 98. The words will appear on your screens. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory.
The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication
in the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands.
Let the hills sing together for joy.
At the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The third reading is the epistle lesson, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the Spirit only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth.
Before I announce the next hymn, I'm just going to make sure we can get words on a screen. No? Then I'm not going to announce the next hymn, because it's not in the hymn book. It was only going to be words on the screen. We'll continue now with the reading of our gospel lesson for this morning, taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. Listen for God's word to his people. As the Father loves me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we turn to the scripture readings that you have heard this morning, we join into John's gospel reading from where we left off last week. If you can recall, last week we read the passage in which Jesus spoke of the followers of God as being vines and branches connected one to another. And last week Jesus said to his followers, "If you are cut off from me, you can do nothing." And today he turns the image, doesn't he? Last week was cut off from me, you can do nothing. This morning, the proclamation is, abide in my love. Keep connected. We most bear witness to Jesus' ministry as we abide in his love and allow that love to be manifest in our relationships with others. In typical Johannine fashion, our text today emphasizes the idea of connection. We are to be connected, to abide in Jesus. Just as Jesus has remained connected, as Jesus abides in God the Father, and that connection, that love connection, impels us then to love one another. Throughout the gospel story, we hear time and again stories of Jesus and his radical acts of hospitality, making room at table fellowship for sinners and those who were on the margins of society, healing those who were unclean according to the Jewish laws, doing whatever it took to allow these people to become part of the community once more. And in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear Peter's defense of his actions in teaching and baptizing Cornelius and his household. Cornelius being a Roman centurion, one who would have been perceived as being outside of the covenant of God's grace. Indeed, as being one who was an oppressor of those who sought to follow God. And yet, he is welcomed by Peter by the surpassing, because of this, of the surpassing love of God. We who are the church have been called to the undoing of the fall. In Jesus, all those things of human nature that separate us one from another, all of our sins that separate us from God are stripped away, and the blessedness of creation is given as God envisioned it on that first Sabbath day. And that's our calling to abide in fellowship with Christ, in fellowship with God, and in fellowship with each other and the world in which we live. We cannot, as Christians, cut ourselves off. Tragically, the history of the church has not been so welcoming. Too many people down through the ages have felt judged and excluded by the church, by far too many congregations, and they have been told that there is no place for them in the kingdom of God. We have divided churches ethnically or by economic status or by education, all of these things to keep us apart one from another. Many years ago, when I was a student in Toronto, I worked for, did my field education placement one year in a congregation on the, well, I guess the east end of Toronto. It's east of the Don Valley, anyway, for what that's worth. And it blew my mind when I eventually discovered that 5 minutes up the street and just around the corner, there was another Presbyterian church. You see, the church where I worked, south of Danforth Avenue, had been settled by the Scots. Westminster, just up north of Danforth Avenue, an equal number of couple of blocks, had been settled by the Irish. And so there they were, two congregations within walking distance from one another, and yet never, ever intermingling with one another. Until recently, when they became a two-point charge, and now the minister walks back and forth between the churches on a Sunday morning. Go figure. And yet the churches, hopefully they've grown somewhat together, but they remain their own separate entities. tragically, too many congregations have become comfortable as social groups, so much so that they've ignored their responsibility to proclaim the gospel and welcome others in. And when we do those things, when we cut ourselves off from our communities, when we cut ourselves off from those who are different than we are, we deny the kingdom of God. And we deny Christ's teaching that God's kingdom is open to all who will simply turn to him in trust. These days, too many conversations that are happening within the church are dominated by questions of numbers and budgets and survival. And if you speak to many of these congregations who are fixated on those three topics, what you begin to discover is that they are no longer fulfilling their evangelical mission in the world of presenting the gospel in a manner that has power and gives meaning and belonging, to people. They've become comfortable in their own space, so comfortable that no one else bothers to come in, and that seems to be okay. Our mission as the church is to present the gospel in such a way that people experience the joy that it brings in our lives. Imagine that story of Cornelius. We didn't read all of it this year in the lectionary, but we kind of hit the shoulder passages. Peter's call on the one side last week and then his defense this week. But imagine the joy in that household when they invite Peter to come into their midst to teach them about Jesus and to become accepted as the children of God. Imagine the joy of that Ethiopian eunuch who we read about a couple of weeks ago, riding on his chariot, he acutely aware of how different he was from the rest of the world around him. And yet again, Peter runs beside him and opens up to him that he belongs in the kingdom of God and that Christ is his Christ too. And he likewise is baptized on that very day into the faith of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to present the gospel so that people will know our joy. There's a reason we sang that first hymn this morning, "Come Know My Joy." There's another hymn in the book of praise that I don't think we're familiar with, and we're not going to sing this morning, so how about that? But within the book of praise, there's a hymn, the words of which have been written by Fred Pratt Green, who is a 20th century hymn writer. He's a Methodist churchman from the UK. And the first verse of that hymn states the following: "The church of Christ in every age, beset by change but spirit-led, must claim and test its heritage and keep on rising from the dead." We come to the end of the Easter season this week and next, the last 2 weeks of those 50 days of Easter. We continue to celebrate the risen and resurrected Christ, who gives us joy and hope and a sense of belonging within this place and within the kingdom of God. But do we also celebrate the resurrection of our own institutions, the resurrection that is part of the rising from the dead of the church, which is called to be relevant in each and every day. To not just rest on the laurels of those who have gone before us, but to find new ways to proclaim the gospel, to find new ways to invite people to come in, to give them hope in a world that desperately struggles to find meaning and hope. That is our challenge as we move into the future, to find the place where God's good need fits into the keyhole of someone else's human hurt. And when we do that, then indeed we will have claimed the leading of the Spirit in our congregations and in our lives, and we will experience the resurrection of new life in Christ and in the church that Christ loved and came to die for. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and yet refuses to help a sister or brother in need? Remembering God's great love for the world, let us offer our lives to the Lord as we now present our tithes and offerings.
With their little lamb.
Let us pray. Eternal God, take and use these gifts for your purpose in the world. Give food to the hungry, hope to the despairing, and new life to those who are dead. Teach us to live each day for you, so that future generations will know your goodness and praise your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray these things. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of wisdom and mercy, we turn to you in these quiet moments and offer our thanks for the love that you have shown to us, seeking your blessing on our hopes for our lives. This morning, we give you thanks for all those who have shown us your face, and who have taught us to follow you by the faithful example of their lives. We thank you for our life together in your church as your forgiven people. May the light of Christ shine through our lives so that we become light for the world, shining examples of your love at work. Christ of compassion, in you we receive our call to live with purpose. From you we learn how to love those around us. With you we find strength to face each new day. So today we offer our prayers for those facing challenges in these days and seek your guidance to respond to their cries. We pray for all those brought to mind by news headlines this week, for situations of violence and deprivation, of danger and devastation. We pray for families going through difficult times and for all who are sick or in sorrow, for any who are lonely or in despair. We pray for those agonizing over important decisions and responsibilities, for those in leadership roles, and for those who care for the most vulnerable in our community. And we pray for ourselves and for one another, for the situations that challenge us and the new possibilities that encourage us. Especially today, we give thanks for all those students who are graduating from colleges and universities, and we celebrate with them their accomplishments. We remember especially Bella from this congregation as she continues to look to the future and to find her purpose in life. Spirit of Christ, move with us into the week ahead. Remind us each day to live according to God's will and purpose. For we want to offer your loving presence in the lives we touch in Jesus' name. For he taught all his people these words, praying together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 371 in the Book of Praise, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 371. Thank you. Now let us go forth in the name of Jesus, remembering his new covenant to love one another, just as he has loved us. May the love of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.